we are celebrating as sacred music Sunday. I thank to God for both blessed our choir and its members. Now I invite Mrs. Sarah Sherwin Kuruvilla to deliver the message.
Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. It is so good to see so many of you here today. I hope everyone is doing well. I would like to thank God Almighty first and foremost for giving me this opportunity to speak before you today. I would also like to thank Arachin and our choir leader Gigi for giving me this chance to speak to you on Choir Sunday. So before I start, let's take a few moments to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, I thank you for having brought us all here today to worship and to praise you. Father, you've said where two or three of us are gathered in your name, you will be in our midst. Please watch over those who are not able to make it here today or who are going through difficult times or having health-related issues, Father. Please watch over them. There are many families that are also traveling, Lord, to India or to other places. We pray that you're with them every step of their way, that their journey be safe, that they have safe travels. Lord, when we look at the events that's going on in the world, especially when we look at the war in Ukraine, Father, we pray that you bring peace and that you bring safety to the people there, to that region. Father, in this country, there's recently been acts of violence that were based on race. Father, we pray that you are with the families who have lost their loved ones, that you comfort them, that you give them strength, Lord. Lord, as we gather to learn more about you, as we gather to learn your word, I pray that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. So as Achin said, the Marthana Sabha celebrates today as Choir Sunday, the day for the sacred music. And it's a day really that we recognize the choirs of our church, and we thank God for this medium of music and of song. Music really is a universal part of religion. It's something that we find common among all religions across the globe. And for Christians especially, there is no worship without it. Now, in order to grow in this area of divine music, to bring about new songs, to inspire the congregations, the Marthoma Department of Sacred Music and Communication was founded by Dr. Alexander Marthoma, Delhi Metropolitan, in 1969, with the vision that choir helps lead the congregation in worship, that it helps inspire the congregation in worship. So as Achin said earlier, you know, our church, we are really blessed. We have not one, but two choirs. We have an English choir and a Malayalam choir. The English choir has probably about 50 or more registered members, and the Malayalam choir has about 32. So we're really blessed to have two choirs that help tremendously in our worship services, and pretty much in almost all of our church events. When you look at our service, in addition to the choir, our whole congregation actually sings in unison with the choir when we're praising and when we're worshiping God. So really, our entire church can be perceived as the primary choir, because all of us sing to God. I just wanted to add that I had the privilege of recently becoming a new choir member myself. And the experience thus far, what it's taught me is that there is so much hard work and dedication and prayer that goes into every song that we hear each Sunday from both the choir leaders and the choir members. So we really, I thank God for both the choirs and for their leadership, that our church is blessed to have us. And to be honest, for me personally, it was also a great opportunity to learn new songs and to use that to praise and worship God. And I get to do it twice because I also have to practice. So for today's meditation, what I thought is that we can look at different portions of the Bible that focus on music and really what its significance to us as Christians looks like, significance to our service and to us as Christians. So I'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 145, verses 3-7. And it reads, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your great and mighty acts. They will speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." So this chapter, it is called a Psalm of Praise. It was written by David, and he's written this as an acrostic poem, which means if you look at the original Hebrew's version of it, every letter, the first line of every, first letter of every line is actually written in alphabetical order. There's only a handful of Psalms that are written that way, but in this one in particular, David, he's praising God for who God is and what God does. He's writing this after a lifetime of having followed after the Almighty. And you, as I read in these verses, he's describing a few different ways that, you know, he thinks to praise God. He says, "Teach the generations to come about God's greatness. Speak of God's splendor. Tell others of his great works. Meditate. Celebrate God's goodness." And it also says to sing of God's righteousness. Now, singing is something that's absolutely not new for David. David is an exemplary example of a person who uses music as a way to glorify God, to give glory to God. And he's remarkable because he is both a poet and a musician. I think we have a handful of people definitely within the English choir that are both, you know, have the poetic inclination and definitely musicians. Our church is blessed to have so many talented people. So David is one of those who wrote the poems and is a musician himself. He played the harp. His music, he always used his music to have a message that gave glory to God. All of his psalms that he's written gave glory to God. So another aspect of David is that he was always singing, no matter what role he played. When he was a shepherd or a warrior or a king, David was always singing. He sang even when he was in fear, hiding in a cave for fear of his life from King Saul. He chose to sing and glorify God. David is the one who's composed at least half of the Psalms, and we need to remember that Psalms are typically meant to be sung, not just read. So he has much to teach us about this aspect of using song for praise in prayer. Choir really is an integral part of the worship, and it's important because worship is a reflection of heaven. So if you look at the Bible, it is filled with many references instructing us to praise and to seek God. And heaven itself, it's actually described as an ongoing song of worship, a place where God is eternally praised. And we get a glimpse of God's throne through the prophet Isaiah, where you see that the angels are singing together. So if we go to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "They were all calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The heaven and earth is full of his glory.'" Now this phrase, we use this repeatedly. We heard it a little earlier in our spiritual songs and in our worship. And it is a clear representation of how all of heaven, all of the angels, they were moved to raise up their voices and to celebrate God. Their joyful praise of God, it's not a suggestion or some kind of a recommendation. It's actually a command to us as brothers and sisters of Christ, that we should also be moved to emulate these angels and join them in their happy devotion. If we flip forward to in the Bible to the New Testament and we go to the book of Revelations, John paints a similar picture to what Isaiah said. He says that there is a heavenly choir that sings God's praises for all eternity. So what scripture is telling us is that it's showing us that these angels, they are carrying out God's divine purposes. Now, we heard now through Isaiah and John a description of you know, choir singing, they're praising God. So when you think of it, our service really is a symbolic representation of the same thing, a symbolic representation of heaven. And when you think of it, when we sing together as one whole community, all of us, this too can be seen as a reflection of heaven, because it's a reflection of the people of God, God's people. When, with all of our differences, we come together, we sing to praise God as one body in Christ. So I talked about a few people now. I talked about David. We heard about Isaiah and John's description of heaven. And what this tells us really is that the people of God, they sing. We can find the same references or this understanding of singing, of God's people singing, just by looking at today's first and second lessons. The first lesson was about Exodus chapter 15. What that's talking about is that after fleeing Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, the Israelites, they are singing, reflecting God's great triumph over the Egyptians, and they're proclaiming him as their great defender. Now, this moment of crossing the Red Sea is a very definitive moment in Jewish history. They see God work his miracle, part the seas to save his chosen people. And they are singing, giving thanks to the Lord, and they are renewed in their hope. They sing about their renewed hope in being able to see the promised land. So this chapter in itself, it's also a song that's meant to be, it's also meant to be sung, and it's called the Song of Moses and Miriam. And it's typically sung in two parts, where the first portion is sung by the men and the second is sung by the women in response. For the second lesson, it's a little bit of a different scenario. In Acts chapter 16, I was going to give some context. Paul actually expels a demon from a slave girl who had the ability to predict the future. And what happens in doing so is that her owners now have lost a source of income. They used her, you know, to make money. And so they file a complaint, and you heard the lesson. Basically, Paul and Silas, then they get beaten and imprisoned. And even while they're in prison, they choose to pray and to sing hymns to God. It says at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and all the prisoners there were listening to them. When suddenly an earthquake, a violent earthquake, shakes the foundation of the prison and, you know, breaks open the doors and loosens their shackles. So this is God coming to their rescue, hearing them sing and pray. God comes to their rescue, and they're able to save the life of the jailer in the rest of the lesson if you read it. So Jesus Christ himself also sings a hymn. If we look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, what we see is that Jesus, he just after the Last Supper, he sits down with his disciples and he sings a hymn. He does this shortly before heading off to the Mount of Olives. All of these examples that I've talked about so far and the people that I've mentioned, they're all very, very central and core to the Bible. And they all use song to worship God. So the role of music is, in fact, biblical. You know, when I was asked to speak today, I prayed to God for some guidance, and I was reminded of something from childhood that I thought I'd share. I was very, very curious as a kid. I had a million questions. And my favorite person to ask was my dad, because I could ask him anything and there were no wrong or right questions. So I think I might have been in elementary school, I can't remember, but I had just learned in Sunday about the three omnis. You all know what I'm talking about. The three omnis that describe God, one of which was omnipresent. So I come home and I ask my dad, if God is everywhere, then what makes the church service so special? Because we prayed at home, we had evening prayers every day. So what's so special about the service in church? And I remember him saying that, you know, we as people, as human beings, we're not perfect. Our mind tends to wander. You're here in the present, and a split second later, your mind is millions of miles away. Your thoughts just go from one thought to the next. So we're not focused. It happens. But when we go to church, and when we all pray and sing together as one community, what that helps us do is bring our focus only to God. You bring your focus only to God. That is what the whole church is doing. So your mind really has a harder time wandering. It stays focused on God. So what does that look like? When you focus on God, it's meditation. And, you know, for me, that made perfect sense. It made absolute sense. I didn't need any further explanation. So when you think of our service, just up until now, over the entire service, that if you look at it, our whole service is in song. Every word that Achin says, or our lay leaders, or our whole congregation says in response, we do this in song format. We sing for the service. So really, singing, when you think of it, helps us pray. And it may or may not have occurred to you, but singing really is another form of prayer. Music, it has this ability to really deepen the meaning of the words that accompany it. So when you sing a hymn, it amplifies that personal religious experience that you have. And when I say this, what I mean is, if you think of a joyous time, like Christmas, for example, we're singing songs, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, you can actually see people sing with a huge smile on their face. Right? What they're singing, what they're feeling is the same. And when you think of the opposite, when you're going through difficult times, when you find a hymn that's asking for God's help or his guidance, or when you're singing a hymn that it really expresses your sorrow, you suddenly find yourself, you know, streaming with tears. You find your face just covered in tears that you're crying. Now, hymns and singing these songs, they can at times help us find relief, and sometimes they can help us feel renewed in our faith and trust that God, our Father, will answer our prayers. So when you see several of the hymns that we sing, they actually bear rich testimony that whether in joy or in sorrow, when we praise or lament, the faithful, they raise their voices in song to the Lord. They raise their voices in song. And so many of the hymns that we hear, they've been inspired by hard times, or by struggle and hardships, or by thankfulness to God. And, you know, they serve as a reminder that we should keep strong in our faith even during troubling times. So when we talk about, you know, renewing in faith, I thought of this, I remembered the song, the English choir sings it all the time. It's called "It Is Well With My Soul," and it was written by Horatio Spafford. So I'm just going to sing the first four lines, not the chorus, just the first four. If you all should know it, if you want to join me in song, please feel free to do so. It goes, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Sorry, my throat is dried out a little bit, so I may have been a little off pitch. But this song, I really thought it's beautiful and it's touching, because, you know, it's talking about you could be at peace or you could be at sorrow, but my faith, my soul is well, Lord. That's what it's saying. And there's a beautiful story behind it. And you all may or may not know this, but Horatio Spafford, he had lost his son, and he was in financial ruin after the fires in Chicago. On top of which, he lost his four daughters to the sea when they were going ahead of him with his wife to England. So later, when traveling to meet his grieving wife, you know, he was inspired to write this song as his ship passed by that area where his daughters had died. I can't fathom how he must have felt, but this song is such a testament to his great faith, and it's inspiring to all of us. There are so many churches that have since adopted this song, and there's a plethora of choirs that have sung this, including our own. And the meaning and the connection or the experience that you have as an individual when singing the song, or as a church when we sing the song, really is unique to each and every one of us. It's just as unique as our unique connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with our God Almighty. Life at times can be difficult. We've been through two or more years of COVID now. You know, things have been difficult for a lot of folks. And sometimes just expressing ourselves in itself can seem like such a daunting task. So I personally feel that singing can help us describe the indescribable. And there's really nothing more gratifying than singing in unison with your whole church, with your whole community, together in one voice, singing with that singular purpose of praising God, of worshiping God. So worshiping in song, worshiping in music, it can change and it can transform us. Singing, what it does is it allows a part of your heart to speak to God in a way that does not happen just through spoken word. I'm sure you've all felt it when you've, you know, had a difficult day or a happy day and you sang it together. You just feel filled with the Spirit. You feel connected to our Lord and Savior. So really what singing can do, or its critical role, is it can bridge that gap between our cognitive and our emotional sides. The most significant role that I think that choir takes in this regard is to help bring meaning to the service. Every song we heard today had meaning and significance to this day. And it really helps our church family to truly feel closer to God. It will help build that relationship. And I've always felt that when we sing our songs, when we praise God, when we pray to Him through song, what it does is it makes the words of our mouths and the words of our hearts be the same. So your hearts and your heads, they actually feel and mean the same thing. They're one and the same. And when we do that, really our service is that much more beautiful and that much more sanctified. Like I said, the songs that are selected for every service, they bear great meaning and great significance. And really what that does is it enriches our connection to the divine. So I open today's message with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and it read, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And I thought that with that context in mind, which this was also the opening verse for today's service, I thought with that context in mind that we could close with Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is also written by Paul, and it goes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So what Paul is doing here is he is encouraging us to sing of various types of spiritual songs. He's not giving any preference to one type of music over the other. And his purpose here is simply to state that all music should be used to let the word of Christ dwell richly within us. Dwell richly within us. And that singing can be done with an attitude of thanksgiving. So it should come from a place of gratitude, where we're giving thanks to the Lord for all that we have and all that we know that He will answer when we ask in prayers. So in summary, as a church, we are really thankful for both our choirs. But regardless, whether you are in choir or not, when we devote ourselves and when we sing with our whole hearts, something godly happens. It's important to understand that in the eyes of God, it doesn't matter the quality of your voices. However, God will realize a missing voice. So what is important is to praise God in a loud and a clear voice and to focus on giving glory to God so that we too can have a glimpse of life in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.